Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a marauder. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. The fourth Sunday of Easter each year is called Good Shepherd Sunday, because on this day the church focuses on a section of the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, in which Jesus reveals the relationship he has with each of his faithful followers. Jesus says about himself, "I am the good shepherd." And his faithful followers, with the words of today's responsorial psalm, joyfully respond, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack, I want for nothing." We mark this fact, this relationship, in the heart of the Easter season each year, because it's the heart of our Easter joy. The risen Lord Jesus is our shepherd, and with him, we truly have it all. But it's key for us to believe and live by these famous words of the responsorial psalm. By them, we publicly confess as Catholics that our treasure is Jesus. That if we have him, but don't have everything else in the world, we still recognize how rich we are. One of the prayers I've been saying for 25 years is St. Ignatius of Loyola's famous Suscipe, which he prayed, taught his Jesuits, like Pope Francis, to pray, and which they have helped the whole world learn how to say. "Take, Lord," we pray with St. Ignatius in that prayer, "and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will. All I have and call my own. Whatever I have or hold, you have given me. I return it all to you and surrender it wholly to be governed by your will. Give me only your love and your grace, which are enough for me, and I ask for nothing more." This prayer teaches us something very important about being a good sheep of the good shepherd. We recognize that Jesus' love and grace are enough for us. In the midst of a consumerist society in which we're bombarded with advertisements that pretend we're only going to be happy if we obtain what they're selling, that we'll be fulfilled only if we have money and houses, fame and fortune, power and position, we focus rather on the good shepherd's love and grace. We confess that what Jesus provides is far more fundamental to happiness in this world and is absolutely essential to eternal felicity with him in the eternal sheepfold. That's what we remember on this Good Shepherd Sunday. As our good shepherd, Jesus does three fundamental things for us. And for us to be good sheep of the good shepherd, we need to allow him to shepherd us in these three ways. First, Jesus the good shepherd feeds his flock. He prepares a table for us as we pray in today's psalm. Jesus feeds us in every way. He feeds us materially as He answers our prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." He feeds our soul with His holy word. For, as He says to us in the first Sunday of Lent each year, "Not on bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And He feeds us ultimately on His own body and blood in the Eucharist, the food of everlasting life. Good sheep are not only grateful for this threefold nutrition, but hunger for it. Second, the Good Shepherd guides His flock. Jesus leads us in right paths for His name's sake, as we pray today in the psalm. He leads us besides the refreshing waters of baptism. He guides us toward the verdant pastures of heaven. He tells us that He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them and they follow Him. Jesus takes us personally to Himself, but then He leads us on a journey, a true adventure. This pilgrimage is what life is all about. He doesn't merely tell us about this life. He doesn't just indicate where we need to go. But He turns to each of us and He says, "Come, follow me." He leads us by example. To be His disciple means to follow Jesus where He leads. St. Peter talks about this in today's second reading. Christ left you an example so that you should follow His footsteps. Good sheep do. And third, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, protects His flock. Jesus tells us very clearly that there are thieves and marauders who are seeking to fleece, milk, kill, cook, and consume us. Against those who come only to kill and destroy, Jesus sets Himself as our protection, as the gate to the sheepfold, so that essentially, in order to get to us, the wolves first need to go through Him. To protect us, not only was He willing to die for us, but did, in fact, die for us. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep, He tells us later in this Good Shepherd discourse. "No one takes my life from me. I freely lay it down." And that action of Jesus to protect us, to guard our souls, was not a one-time thing in the past, but is constant. He's constantly vigilant, trying to protect us. That's why we can act on His words, "Be not afraid," because He Himself will guard us from everything that will eternally harm us, provided that we stay in His fold. Thus we can say with trust and confidence as we pray in today's psalm, "Even though I walk in the darkest valley," and some of us have been in that dark valley, some of us may actually be in that dark valley now, "even if we walk in that dark valley, I fear no evil, for He is at my side with His rod and His staff to comfort me." Jesus continues to feed, to guide, and to protect us. But He does it, for the most part, by calling some of His sheep and making them effective shepherds. He takes disciples and makes them apostles and guardians. He wants to do this with each one of us. If we're good sheep, then He wants us to become, in our own circumstances, a good shepherd of others. Someone who will help Jesus to feed, to guide, and protect others in His name. We see this type of transformation from good sheep to good shepherd in the life of St. Peter. After the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus was querying whether Peter loved him more than everything and anything else, because the Lord wanted that love to be the distinctive mark of Peter's life from that point forward. And three times Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And after each response, Jesus gave him a commission, a task that would be the bedrock of all he would do in Jesus' name. The first commission was, "Feed my lambs," telling him in particular to take care of Christ's young people. The second was, "Tend my sheep," which in the Greek means to guard and to guide. And third, "Feed my sheep." Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was entrusting the care and the nourishment of his flock, young and old, to Peter's loving solicitude. They would always remain Christ's sheep. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep." But they would be guided by a sheep like themselves, whom Christ would choose, appoint, and help to be a shepherd after his own loving heart. It's obvious that Peter never forgot this lesson. At the end of the section of his first letter, which we heard today, he says very clearly that it is Jesus, not anyone else, who is the shepherd and guardian of our souls. But he also said clearly that all of us are to follow in the Good Shepherd's footsteps in feeding, guiding, and protecting others. We're not a good sheep unless we're a good shepherd too. I'd like to make three applications of this vocation for us to be good shepherds as we collaborate with the Good Shepherd in the care of his lambs and sheep. The first application is to our common responsibility with all the members of Jesus' fold to care for those in need, and especially those who are in danger. Before Mass, Marie Wong spoke to you about the 2014 Catholic Charities Appeal. The appeal helps to feed, guide, and protect others. The Catholic Charities Appeal feeds so many. Last year, the appeal helped 9,261 households, almost 15,000 adults, and 7,000 children not to go to bed hungry. It funded the Religious Education Office that seeks to feed children, youth, young adults, and people of every generation with the nourishment of our faith. It also underwrites all the chaplaincies in the hospitals of our diocese, enabling Holy Communion to be brought to 58,000 different Catholic patients last year alone at the hospitals throughout the South Coast. Your generosity helps to fund this extension of the Good Shepherd's feeding the multitudes through his mystical body, the Church. Your generosity through the appeal also helps Jesus through his Church to guide his flock. It funds the counseling provided through the diocese to families and individuals needing assistance overcoming issues of abuse, violence, or the death of loved ones. It underwrites the chaplaincies at UMass Dartmouth, Bristol Community College, and Cape Cod Community College to help keep our young people safely in Jesus' fold at a time where they're charting the path toward their future. It makes marriage preparation programs possible for the engaged to help them center their marriages on God. It pays for the chaplaincies and various programs in prisons to lead people back to a good life after having gotten lost and in trouble. And the appeal also continues Jesus' work of protecting the vulnerable, giving shelter to 1,425 individuals and families each night of the year, including those who have been displaced by fires, those who find themselves out on the street due to unemployment, eviction, or other causes. It helps protect immigrants from predatory practices of those seeking to take advantage of them, or from desperation or falling through the cracks because of an excessively complicated bureaucratic structure in many of our government agencies. It gives shelter to women whose boyfriends or husbands are seeking to hurt or to kill them. In these and many other ways, the Good Shepherd is calling us to feed his lambs and sheep, to guide them and to protect them. And so many Catholics have been faithful to this call through generous participation in the Catholic Charities Appeal. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, the Good Shepherd asks each one of us to be generous in that way, so that we can continue that work. The second application is to the priesthood. For the last 51 years, the Church has always celebrated on Good Shepherd Sunday, the World Day of Prayer for vocations, and especially for vocations to the ordained priesthood. It's on this day that we unite ourselves to the Pope and to Catholics all over the world, praying to God the Father, the Harvest Master, to send out laborers, shepherds after the heart of his Son, into his fields. Priests Are the good shepherd's indispensable instruments to feed his flock with himself in the Holy Eucharist. But they also nourish us with his holy word and with the teaching of the church he founded. Priests guide Jesus' flock one-on-one in the ministry of mercy in the confessional, in spiritual direction and counseling, and guide the entire flock in their work as pastors. The word pastor in Latin means shepherd. Everything that a pastor does is meant to guide. And they also seek to protect the flock of Christ from what Jesus called in today's gospel thieves and marauders, those who would seek to harm them. This involves a defense not just against the devil, his empty promises and his evil works, but against all those earthly gurus who try to lead people from Jesus and from the narrow path that leads to life. The priesthood is so important because through it Jesus continues to shepherd us with salvific love. In today's bulletin, I've printed Pope Francis's meditation for this year's World Day of Prayer for Vocations. I'd ask you please to read it and to thank Jesus in prayer for the way he has fed and tended you as his lamb and sheep throughout your life by those who love Christ enough to leave behind a family of their own, money and possessions, and even their own will, in order to serve you in chastity, poverty of spirit, and obedience. Today we pray in a particular way that God may hear our prayers and raise up many such shepherds from among the boys of our parish and give many girls the vocation to love and serve him in religious life. This World Day of Prayer for Vocations is a day in which the entire church is praying for young people to hear Jesus' call. So today is an especially important day for each of us to call to mind a young boy or man we could ask this question to. Have you ever considered that God might be calling you to serve him as a priest? Today, the prayers of the whole church are to help you plant that seed in somebody's heart. It's a day in which we can pray to a virtuous, prayerful young girl. Have you ever thought that Jesus might be proposing to you to be his bride forever in religious or consecrated life? Please don't be afraid to ask these questions. Today you will do so buttressed by the prayers of Pope Francis and Catholics throughout the world, united with the constant prayers of the Good Shepherd. The final application of this vocation to cooperate with Jesus in shepherding others is to mothers. Today, throughout our country, we celebrate Mother's Day as we pray for our mothers living and deceased, giving thanks to God for them and giving thanks to them directly for all the ways that they have loved us through the years. The work of mothers is an extension of Jesus' shepherding. Moms first feed their children through the umbilical cord during the most vulnerable stage of human existence, with food from their own bodies after birth, and then thereafter with so many thousands of meals lovingly prepared. They also feed their children through breastfeeding them with the faith, nourishing their kids by means of their own faith, carefully digested and given to them in ways their children can consume. Mothers also guide their children along the moral path. Just as the Good Shepherd calls us all by name to follow him, mothers are often the first ones to call their children by name to enter into communion. By teaching their children to pray throughout life, moms also help their children learn how to discern Jesus' voice, calling them to follow him in life, into eternal life. And moms protect their children. They protect them in the womb. They protect them from bad influences. They protect them even from truths that children are not yet fully ready to handle. They protect them from going from without, even sacrificing in situations of poverty their own food so that children won't go hungry. And in one of the greatest tributes ever to the power of motherhood, even the most petite moms become mama bears when their children's lives are at stake. Today we praise moms for all these ways in which they've loved us with the love of the Good Shepherd. In the bulletin, I place some beautiful words from St. John Paul II about motherhood in God's plan. In his beautiful 1988 exhortation on the dignity of women, he writes that the human person is fulfilled not by self-assertion, but by self-gift. And one of the greatest ways that women achieve their potential is through the constant self-giving of motherhood. Motherhood implies from the beginning, he wrote, a special openness to the new person. In this openness, in conceiving and giving birth to a child, the woman discovers herself. She finds out who she really is through the sincere gift of herself out of love to her children. And that gift just keeps on giving throughout life. This unique contact with the new human being developing within her, John Paul continues, gives rise to an attitude toward human beings in general, not just toward her own children, but toward every human being that profoundly marks the woman's personality. It's commonly thought that women are more capable than men of paying attention to another person, and that motherhood develops this predisposition even more. John Paul II here is talking about spiritual motherhood, what he describes as the feminine genius of nurturing others, helping others really to grow through their receptive encouragement, a divine gift of which our society and church constantly needs more. I'd urge you all to read John Paul II's beautiful thoughts, because frankly, we're very much in need of the perspective of the gospel about motherhood that he conveys to us. Why? Because we're living in an age in which motherhood is tragically denigrated by so many women and men who pretend that female fulfillment must involve the ability to flee from motherhood. First, through avoiding motherhood as if it were an evil, through the use of contraception. And most notoriously, if they've conceived a child and already become a mom of a child growing within, through the diabolical practice of abortion, which transforms mothers from good shepherds into wolves of their own children. Jesus, at the end of today's gospel, said that as the good shepherd, he came so that they might have life and have it to the full. Good shepherds always nourish and protect this life. And all of us in the church, moms, dads, teens, seniors, we all have a duty as good shepherds to defend life in the womb and to feed, guide, and protect women in vulnerable stages of life, especially in unwanted or difficult pregnancies, from the thieves and the marauders, both human and satanic, who will urge them to destroy rather than nourish and cherish the life they've conceived. Today on this Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus wants to help all mothers in the sweet but ever-challenging vocation to feed, guide, and protect their children, and to help all of us protect not only mothers and future mothers, but also to protect the beauty and the gift of motherhood in a culture in which many marauders are trying to rob us of this gratitude. Jesus is the good shepherd who promised never to leave his flock untended, and he continues to feed, lead, and protect us through the vocation of charity, to the priesthood, and to motherhood. We've just listened to the Good Shepherd's voice calling us by name in the gospel to let him shepherd us and follow in his footsteps in shepherding others. As we prepare now to receive the Good Shepherd's body and blood, we ask him to fill us with gratitude for the table he has prepared for us and make us ever more attentive to his voice so that we might know how to follow him up close all the way to the evergreen pastures of heaven. The risen Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. With him, we truly have it all. Alleluia.